Good morning, everyone. Hey, I'm alive. And welcome to worship at St. John's this morning. It is good that we can come into God's presence on this morning and offer him our praise and thanksgiving. Whether you are here in the building or joining us on live stream, it is always good that we gather in worship. For those who are here following worship, there is coffee in the McClellan Room at the rear of the sanctuary following worship. So please plan to stay for a time of refreshment and fellowship. Announcements for this week. Session will meet on Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. There has been some drama around all of that, but we are meeting Tuesday at 7, so elders make note of that important date. And on Saturday morning, the 13th at 10 a.m., you're all invited to gather here for our Adopt-a-Street cleanup. We clean up in the area here around the church, so 2nd Street, the parking lot in the back, a few places like that. So that's Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Graduate Sunday is coming up on June the 28th, so we are looking for photographs of our high school graduates. This is our high school celebration, and if you can have those to the office, Rob asks, by June the 19th, that would be terrific. And finally, next week is the celebration of the Sacrament of Holy Communion. And for those wanting communion cups to be delivered, please let us know, and the communion elf will be out and about dropping off communion cups. Also, because this is the June communion, this is the one of the communions after which we try to go out and visit with those who can't make it into worship. So if you would prefer to have a home visit communion rather than the communion cup, again, contact us and we'll make sure that you're on that list. If you want to come and hear what the music director does best, Saturday, July 20th at 7 p.m. at the Anglican Church. There was an insert this morning. June, yes, don't come in July because she's going to be in Banff and it'll be a hard time to sing from all the way from Banff. But in 2 weeks' time, 2 weeks' time, yeah, 13 days' time, just a little less than a week, 2 weeks at the Anglican Church. So information on the concert is on the, or her recital is on the church website as well as the insert in the bulletin this morning. And the new Presbyterian Connect, the quarterly newspaper of the Presbyterian Church in Canada that keeps you up to date with all of the wonderful things that are happening across the country in Presbyterian congregations, is downstairs outside the office. So do come and pick up a copy for yourself. There's lots of interesting things in this particular issue of our newspaper. And now, let us join our voices together as we say the call to worship. The call is a responsive call and will appear before you on the slides. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord. All who are righteous, shout with joy to our God.
Let us sing a new song.
Praise God and give thanks. With organs, with guitars, and with all kinds of instruments.
Play your best with joy.
Because our Creator's word is right, and everything God does is done for our good.
Let your faithful love surround us, O God.
Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Creating and loving God, we come this morning remembering that you are a faithful God and that we are thankful that we see your hand in every detail of the world you have given us. We thank you that your faithfulness can be seen in the patterns and rhythms of the seasons. And yet we remember that in every change you remain unchanging. In every season of our lives, through all our joys and disappointments, you are with us. In every circumstance, we know your presence, your healing, and your strength. Be present with us in this hour and reveal to us once more the glory of your love around us, in us, and through us to the world. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn for this morning is number 466 in the Book of Praise. Praise to the Lord with the sound of trumpet. Let us turn and return to the one who desires to hear our confession and wants to grant us grace. This morning's prayer of confession is a unison prayer and will appear before you on the screens. Merciful God, we acknowledge our guilt and seek your face and your forgiveness. For we have not offered steadfast love to you or each other. We have not moved forward in faith, but have allowed ourselves to be stifled by fear. Revive us, raise us up, that we might live before you, rejoicing in the knowledge of your love. Amen. Friends, Jesus was delivered to death for our sins, and was raised to life for our justification. God has poured out love upon us, and we have received forgiveness of sins. Now we can live in peace with one another and with our God. And as God has forgiven us, so we are invited to be forgiving one another. Let us now take the moment to share a sign of the peace of Christ, and may God's love be with you all. Praise. The hymn is number 648. I'm going to live so God can use me. all kinds of things that happen in the life of a church. Bear with me 1 minute. Friends in Christ, we light the Christ candle this morning as a visible sign that Christ is in our midst and is our light as we seek to walk in his paths each day. It's a good thing I turned around there, or I would have never noticed that I hadn't lit the candle this morning. Lots of things happen in the life of the church. Here upstairs, for most Sundays this year, we're looking at the book of Psalms, right? That's what the adults are doing. Downstairs, mostly the Sunday school lessons are based on the gospel lesson. But this morning, and for us as we hear scripture throughout the summer months, many of our readings for the next little while from the Old Testament are going to be based on the Abraham story. So we got all kinds of things happening, all kinds of educational opportunities. So like I say, downstairs, we're doing gospel, but here, we're doing Psalm. And this morning, I'm going to talk to you about Abraham. Who knows anything about Abraham? What do you know about Abraham there, Willem? Close, wrong end of the alphabet. That's not Abraham, that's... Oh, come on, somebody must know. Say it out loud, say it out proud. Zacchaeus. Like I said, wrong end of the alphabet. But you're right, he's there in the gospel story, isn't he, our friend Zacchaeus? Abraham. Anything? Abraham was married. Do you know Abraham's wife's name? Sarah, thank you. There you go. They got it. Y'all can help out. Abraham and Sarah, they're in the Old Testament, the first half of the Bible. In fact, they're in the very beginning of the Bible. We call that book the book of Genesis. Genesis is the first book of the Bible because it means Genesis, the word Genesis means in the beginning. First book of the Bible. Easy to remember both those parts. So Abraham, though, is chosen by God to be God's messenger, and God says to Abraham, I'm going to send you on a journey. Where do you think he went? Any idea? Jerusalem? Eventually, that area. How do you think he got there? What do you think, Jake? How did most people travel in the Old Testament? They walked. Although, you're right. You're absolutely right. Abraham had camels. He had lots of camels because Abraham was a pretty wealthy guy. So he had like a 3-camel garage at home and everything like that. And God said to Abraham, leave everything that you've got. Leave behind your 3-camel garage and go to the place. He ends up there, but you know what God calls it? The place I'm going to tell you to go. Can you imagine going on a trip with no better instructions than go to the place I'll tell you to go? Like, no map, no GPS or phone, no go to the end of the corner and turn left. None of that. Just go to the place where I'm going to tell you to go. Oh, I don't know about you. I'd be anxious, wouldn't you? Well, and hot too, because it's a hot place. But I'd be anxious. My heart would be pounding. Now, imagine if you're going on a trip this year. I don't know, going maybe on a vacation. Maybe you're going to go spend some time at a friend's house. Maybe have a sleepover. What would you take? What would be important? It would be important, right? If you're going to Bible camp, Ray's going to Gracefield. And what are you going to take with you? Go take some pajamas? Whatever they tell you to take. That's right, because they're going to give you instructions, not like God who said, just go to the place where I tell you to go. They're going to give you instructions, but you're going to take a change of clothes. You might take a book to read. Excellent. You might take a dinosaur book. You might take, what else? What else would you take? If you're going to camp, you're going to take like a sleeping bag or something, right? To sleep in. Right? And a pillow, right? All kinds of things that you would try to remember to take. If you're going to the beach or to camp, because they have places like that, what would you take? What would you take? That actually could be two things going to camp. That could be bug spray, or that could be suntan lotion, right? You might take those. And you might take a hat. A hat with a nice broad brim on it that you could put on when you were in the sun to keep yourself shaded, right? All those things are practical things that you might take if you were going on a big adventure, whether that's to camp, to a friend's house, or on vacation, right? And so as we think about going and our trips this summer, we think also about Abraham and this trip that God is sending Abraham on. And there's one more thing that goes with Abraham. Woo, somebody got the answer right. Was that you, Ainsley? Or was that you? That was you, Will. Willem got it right. God. God's promise to Abraham, despite the fact that he didn't give him very good instructions and he didn't give him a map and he didn't give him a list of the things to pack along the way and he didn't give him have a GPS, God said, go and I will go with you. So as we're thinking about all of our trips this summer, wherever we may go, whatever adventure we may be on, one of the promises that we have out of Scripture is that God will go with us. We're going to talk about that as we look at Psalm 33 today in the adult section of our time together. And I'm going to ask you to listen carefully to your children's time downstairs and see where God is traveling with the people that you're going to hear about today downstairs. Can you do that for me?
Sure.
And will you come back and will you tell me how God was with them?
Yes.
Perfect. Off you go. Have a wonderful morning this morning. And we'll see you afterwards. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. By your word, O God, everything was made. Your word is powerful and can transform the hearts of men and women. Speak to us today. Open our hearts and minds to your renovating word and give us guidance and strength. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from Genesis 12, 1-9. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Abram took his wife Sarai and his brother's son Lot, and all the possessions that they had gathered, and the persons whom they had acquired in Haran, and they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. When they had come to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he moved on to the hill country on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and invoked the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on by stages toward the Negev. The epistle is from Romans 4:13-25. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null, and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there transgression. For this reason, the promise depends on faith, in order that it may rest on grace, so that it may be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is the father of all of us. As it is written, "I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was said, 'So shall your descendants be.' He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, and the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, the words 'it was reckoned to him' were written not for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over for our trespasses and was raised for our justification." The gospel reading is from Matthew 9:9-13 and 18-26. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax collection station, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader came in and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died. but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who had been suffering from a flow of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she was saying to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And the woman was made well from that moment. When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping," and they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up, and the report of this spread through all that district.
Our hymn is number 96 in the Book of Praise. Let us with a gladsome mind, hymn number 96, or as it will appear before you on the screens. So I was looking up that particular hymn on throughout the week for singing this morning. I was interested to note, sometimes people ask, you know, why we sing hymns with so many different verses, or so many verses, and this is one, we just sang five verses of Let Us With a Gladsome Mind. That's the severely edited version. John Milton originally composed, I know I saw the number 13. So there are at least 13 verses to Let Us With a Gladsome Mind. So in case you didn't get the praise right the first time, you have opportunities to improve. As we come in praise this morning, we turn to the book of Psalms. Our psalm is number 33. And the words will appear on the screen. But if you are one of those people who likes to follow along in your own Bible before you in the pews, this is one of those Sundays when I would encourage you to keep that Bible open on your lap. You might like that later as we move through the sermon. The reading in the Pew Bible, I believe it's 513 in the book, in the Pew Bibles. Let us hear now God's word as it is given in Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise befits the upright. Praise the Lord with the lyre. Make a melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all of his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all their host by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea as in a bottle. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord brings counsel to the nation, brings the counsel of nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the people. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. The Lord looks down from the heavens, and he sees all humankind. From where he sits enthroned, he watches all the inhabitants of the earth, he who fashioned the hearts of them and observed all their deeds. A king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a vain hope for victory, but by its great might, it cannot save. Truly, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, to deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Some things from years and years ago just stay with you. They are generational touchstones or anthems. And one of them that I was reminded of this week was the old tagline for the sunglass manufacturer, "Who's behind those Foster Grants?" Does anybody remember who's behind those Foster Grants? I was thinking about sunglasses this week, and in particular, I was thinking about mirrored shades. Maybe you had a pair back when they were all the rage, back in the 70s or the 80s. I think I kind of equate them with, you know, junior high school. Back in the day, they were the coolest thing. And judging from the images that I found online this week, it seems that they may be making a comeback, mirrored shades, so it might be the coolest and hip new thing, too. But while mirrored shades might be cool, what really struck me this week was the fact that the wearer of these sunglasses doesn't experience the defining characteristic at all, do they? The one who looks out into the world through those mirrored sunglasses doesn't experience the fact that they're mirrored, or you wouldn't get anywhere, right? All you'd see is your own two eyeballs. It's only those who are looking back on them who know that the sunglasses are reflective. And as we turn to our psalm for today, Psalm 33, what leaps off the page to us this morning is this psalm and its great expression of praise. "Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, for praise befits the upright. Praise the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud voices. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness. The earth is full. Sorry, he loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. That's how the psalm begins. And you can certainly be excused for being distracted by those opening verses of the psalm, those first four verses, which are a soaring expression of praise. They just build and build and build. You get that sense from it as you read it. Praise the Lord with the lyre. Make melody with him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song and play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. It's as if a symphony orchestra was sat before us, and one lone instrument, an oboe perhaps, starts to play the melody. And once the melody is played the first time, then the harp joins in, doubling the melody. And then strings are added. And finally, the whole orchestra announces God's praise with great shouts. It would be exciting, wouldn't it? In this psalm, all of that is happening right there in those first four verses. So, what's not to distract us then, right? But the psalm goes on. Verses 6 to 8 remind us of God's great work of creation. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all their host by the breath of his mouth. And then God's faithfulness to the nations is remembered in verses 9 to 12. The Lord brings a council of the nations to nothing. He frustrates the plans of the people. The counsel of the Lord stands firm. All of these things, they're pretty stock content for our hymns of praise, aren't they? Countless hymns have been written on God's creative power and on God's steadfast faithfulness. And if this was any other year, a year in which we were not dwelling in the Psalms, which we are doing, but if this was any other year, we would have ended Psalm 33 this morning after the 12th verse. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage. And if we stopped at verse 12, then in particular, you could be excused if you were fixated on the obligation of praise that we find in these first 12 verses of the psalm. But this is not any other year. So we read the whole psalm this morning. And we dig a little deeper. And as we read further, the viewpoint of the psalm changes. Now we get to see it from the other side of those mirrored shades. Starting at verse 13, the psalmist says, "The Lord looks down from heaven and he sees all of humankind. From his throne, where he sits enthroned, he watches all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashioned the hearts of them and observed all of their deeds. A king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a vain hope for victory, and by its great might, it cannot save." Here we are reminded in these verses that God is not some distant reality that we have stoppered up and put on the shelves like the waters of the sea are in verse 7. No, God continues to be present and active in our lives. The Lord looks down from heaven and sees us. And that watchfulness of God changes us. The watchfulness of God that changes the course of history and does indeed have the ability to reorient our lives, to turn our eyes from the things of this world to the steadfast love of the Lord, from fear to hope. Truly, the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, to deliver their souls from death and to keep them alive in the famine. The psalmist invites the congregation of God's people to remember all of those times that God has intervened in their lives. How God delivered the children of God from Egypt and fed them in the wilderness wanderings. The Psalms invite us to remember all of those times when God has intervened in our lives and has led us from wandering to purpose, from despair to hope. For my Wednesday evening friends, those who gather for Bible study, this season we have been looking at the theological understanding of all of these things from the perspective of John Calvin, the great reformer. And this week we were reminded that for Calvin it was not enough to confess that there is a God, but that we should experience God's love and God's mercy toward us in our own lives. Faith is not an intellectual pursuit. It is a relationship with the divine. This is what lives at the heart of our praise, that our praise and our worship of God reflects the goodness that we see manifest in our world and in our lives as we remember that we believe in a God who looks down upon us with compassion. The church's praise is never some archaic and dispassionate remembering, but is rather the retelling of the story of God who time and again touches the lives of real people and makes himself known to them as the Lord who lives behind the praise that we reflect in worship each week, that we might find hope in our time instead of fear and a guiding presence when we are lost or alone. So the question to us today as we consider this great hymn of praise and we look at it and what it reflects back to us is simply this: who's behind those foster grants? Thanks be to God. Amen. Our affirmation of faith for this morning is taken from the Living of Faith, from the Living Faith document, pardon me, chapter 1 of Living Faith, which is entitled God. We will read this reading responsively. There is one true God, whom to know is life eternal, whom to serve is joy and peace.
God has created all that is. The whole universe testifies to the majesty and power of its maker.
God has come to us. The Lord spoke to the people of Israel and entered into covenant with them. From Israel came Jesus Christ, the Son of God, bringing salvation through a new covenant entered by faith. The Lord continues to come to us by the Holy Spirit, God present in the world, and guide to the church, the new Israel.
Holds and defends the truth given to the apostles and recorded in the scriptures.
The Old and New Testaments witness to God's mighty acts. They reveal the Creator's holy love and lead us to Jesus Christ. The creeds of the early church preserve the faith of the apostles who first preached the gospel of Christ. We receive them as a legacy in which the true interpretation of the scriptures is protected. Therefore, with the one church universal, we believe in one God, eternal Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one, one in three, equal in power and glory. God is the Father to whom we come, the Son through whom we come, the Spirit by whom we come. We worship Almighty God, the source of all life. With thanks, we acknowledge God's wisdom, power, faithfulness, and love. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Amen. Paul writes, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Let us offer our lives and our livelihoods to the Lord as we now present our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. God of unending gifts, we praise you for your abundant goodness. As you are generous, we want to be generous too. May the gifts that we bring extend your generosity into the world so that all people may be made whole by your goodness and your grace. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. God of our past and our future, we come with grateful hearts, trusting that you walk with us through all the seasons of our lives. You create a future for us, calling each of us to use our individual abilities and opportunities to make a difference. We thank you that we all have a place and a purpose in your world. We pray today for those who face danger and despair in these times. We remember before you those living with hunger and all those caught up in unrest and violence beyond their control. Be near to all who suffer, O God, and grant to them your peace. We pray for your church in this place, in our city and around the world. Guide the church so that in its proclamation it may be clear, it may make clear your love for the world. It may be gracious in its service of caring, and it may be bold in its advocacy. Especially, we pray today for the General Assembly, which begins its deliberations today. Give to its moderator, commissioners, and all who serve the Assembly a sense of your guidance. We pray for all who are facing fear or frustration, wrestling with sorrow or discouragement in any area of their lives. For those who live with illness or pain. For those bearing chronic conditions or disability. For those who know the grief and change of bereavement. We pray for all who feel helpless or hopeless in this present time. For those around us facing unemployment and struggling to make ends meet. For those caught up in the pain of misunderstanding or broken relationships. And for those working through situations of conflict at home or at work. We pray for all who offer guidance and support in the midst of such difficulties, and for those who have skills in reconciliation or mediation. God of healing and hope, guide our congregation to engage each day with faithfulness. Where we need correction, show us a new way. Where we need love and encouragement, inspire us. Unite us as we travel into the future you are creating for us as followers of Jesus, as we pray in the manner that he taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This morning's closing praise is number 477 in the Book of Praise. Your hand, O God, has guided your church from age to age. The hymn, as it is in the book or appears on the screen. And now, do not waver in unbelief regarding the promises of God, but be strengthened by God's faith and give glory to God, being fully persuaded that God has the power to do all that God has promised. And may the God, our Father, bless you so that you can be a blessing to others. May Christ bless you so that you can be healers of a world that is hurting. May the Holy Spirit bless you so that you can spread the hope that only the triune God can inspire and give to the world. Amen.